So let's get into our word today. Father, bless our hearts. Give us ears to hear. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts are open to receive it. And Lord, as your word declares, more importantly, even do it. Let us live it out. But Lord, thank you for your word, your truth. And Lord, now as we go forward in this time, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here amongst us to lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, we're in Revelation chapter 2, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them that say which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. We began looking at the letters that Jesus wrote to not only the churches back in the day that John received the revelation, but also, I believe, through the church throughout the ages, even to this day, and to every one of us individually, as we are parts of the body of Christ. We'll hear a lot, know a lot, learn a lot. More importantly, I hope that we are convicted when that needs to take place, that we're encouraged when that needs to take place, and that we do, as Revelation chapter 1, we would read it, we would hear it, and we would do it, and this way we and others would be blessed. You say, well, we did this Ephesus letter last week. Yeah, I know. Holy Spirit, don't let this go. We need to talk more about love. You know, if you have the church app, you got the little push notification this morning. What's love? What's love got to do with it? a lot, according to Jesus, not me. According to Jesus, I mean, that was what was that Aretha Franklin? All love got to do with it. Tina Turner. Thank you. Not according to them, but according to Jesus. Love has a lot to do with it. A lot to do with it. Jesus tells this church that they've been doing a great job, an excellent job. He commends them for it, but he also has something very important to tell them, that he has something against them, and what he has against them is they left their first love. They didn't lose him, because you can't lose Jesus, but you can leave. You can leave. He'll never leave you. I want to make that clear. He'll never leave you. He promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we can do the leaving from the standpoint of we can start walking outside of that love, forget that love, not walking in that love, not talking in that love, not acting in that love. You know, this Ephesian church, if you want to listen to the message last week online, I don't want to take time to recap it, but they were a church that was a powerful church, a church doing, you know, great work, and they were in the midst of places that were very satanic. There was a, you know, they had Diana there and Artemis and all the different cults of worship there, and they were good at coming against that, and then also, you know, identifying false teachers and false apostles. They were doing that great work, but that zeal and the ardor by which they were working wasn't the same zeal and ardor that they had for the Lord when they first got saved, or when they first knew him, or when they came to that place where that love was so fresh within them, that love was so alive within them. They had forgotten that. They forgot, as we heard in the songs, that, you know, we love him because he loved us first. You know, that's what 1 John 4:19 says. We love because he loved us first. They began to forget that. They forgot that they were made alive together with Christ, that they were dead in their trespasses and sins. You know, I found it interesting as I was preparing for the message today that, you know, Paul met this Ephesian church. He was there at the beginning, a church formed. They burnt their books, you know, their books of witchcraft and sorcery. They burnt that. They had an amazing beginning, and Paul came, circled around to them another time later, and never was able to go back into the city as he was traveling on one of his last, you know, missionary journeys. But he met them on the beach, the leaders on the beach, and he wept because he said, "The grievous wolves are coming in behind me to tear you apart," you know. And he said, "You know, you got to be firm. You got to be, you know, remember the things that you were taught." And he encouraged them. But then as he wrote his epistle to them, he wrote words that contain a lot about loving. Even way before Jesus wrote this letter to them, Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, "And you," meaning the church in Ephesus, "but to us today," remember, this word is alive, it's for us today as much as it was for them, "and you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin." I'm just going to pause there 1 second to say one of the problems that many of us encounter is when we begin to drift away from our first love is we forget that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And while we were sinners, Christ loved us and he died for us while we were sinners. We forget that sometimes. We forget the great price that was paid for our salvation. So he says, "You were made alive," church, Ephesus. "You were dead in trespasses and sin," verse 2, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." You may have been raised in the church, and you may have been, by all accounts, a good person, but until you came to Christ and were born again, that was you, to varying degrees, to varying degrees. But until we're born again, we can do nothing else but walk according to this flesh. We have no other recourse. We can't, you know, we can reform ourselves, we can become good people, but we're still in our flesh. But when we're born again, because of his love for us, we now have a different way that we can walk, but we can't forget who we once were and that he loved us while we were that way. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, I mean, past tense, he loved us. And before, while we were sinners, he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And he adds there, "By grace you have been saved." See, we couldn't do it on our own. And when we begin to drift away from this love that Christ has for us is when we start to get in trouble. We forget that. When we forget that, we forget who we were before we were saved, how much he loved us before we were saved, that we think ourselves of doing anything on our own that merited his salvation, which we couldn't do. When we begin to forget that and we think we're something more than we really are, we begin to leave our first love. But when we remember that, we get overwhelmed by the joy of his love. When we remember our former state, when we remember that he made us alive together with him. So no matter how much we work, if we forget that love, it becomes just religion. It becomes orthodoxy. It can become many times even pharisaical. We become cloistered and cultish. When the love goes, it's just religion. I want to tell you something. I hate religion. Hate it. And I'm talking about religion in the sense of that man's attempt to get to God or the man's attempt to do the things on their own that they can do. But, you know, I sometimes when people ask me, "What do you do for a living?" You know, I say, well, that's a tricky question because what I do for a living is different than what I do with all of my life to pastor, you know. But I say, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." And they say, "Oh, you must be very religious." I say, "Do not say that to me. Don't call me religious." And that always goes, "What?" And I have to explain it. And that's a good opportunity to explain. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to save us from our sins. And why did he do that? Because he loved us. Great love for us. And that's so important for us to remember that at all times. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The Holy Spirit wanted us to hear this again this week. Let us have our ears open. Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear this and to remind us of who we once were and now who we are in Christ, and never to forget that great love and great sacrifice that he made for us upon the cross. Every church is subject, potentially, to, when I say false teaching, always to be on guard against false teaching. What Ephesus was doing was good work. It was an important work. We need to do that work today. We do our best to maintain that work. We want to be, you know, not only doctrinally correct, but we want to be living that according to the doctrine. That's all good. But what happens is when they began to leave their first love and it became very cold, they forgot something very important that Paul told the Ephesian church also. That when we are together, and we need to correct one another, and which has to happen sometimes. None of us are above correction. But the way that we go about it, Paul said, is speak the truth in love to one another. We don't attack. We don't belittle. We don't grind down and beat down. We say, hey, brother, sister, listen, I want to talk to you about something that I've noticed, that I see, something that maybe you shared or something that I just not, you know, thing. I just want to talk to you. You're my brother. You're my sister. I want to share truth with God's word, not our opinions. It's okay. We all have opinions. That's fine. We can share them in time to time. But when we sit together because of things where there's an offense, or because of times where there is something that's not right, something in our life that's not quite right, or something in the way that we are, you know, maybe teaching or sharing with others, that we need to sit together in love. And speak truth. See, love speaks truth. You don't love when you don't speak truth to somebody. But when we speak truth in love, then we can bring these things together and we can correct any potential varying from the truth. Get back on course. Paul went on to tell the Ephesian church, chapter 4, starting at verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Church, we should edify one another by speaking truth and love to one another, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Sometimes our fleshly nature fools ourselves by saying, well, you know, I really do love everybody, but then we treat each other like awfully. We treat each other with disrespect. We treat each other in some horrible ways. Did you ever notice sometimes how family members who do truly love one another treat one another? They forgot a little bit about being kind to one. Just being kind. Being tenderhearted. Just forgiving one another. You know, listen, we're all going to offend at one time or another. But being able to forgive one another, to talk about it, to speak that truth about it, to sit together in love. Paul reminded that church, he said, listen, this is the way we need to deal with one another. This is love. This is what love does. And when we have that love for Christ and that love is reigning in our hearts, we will love each other that way, the way that we should. He goes on to even tell that church in the beginning of that chapter 4. He says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, you know, he says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. You know, the Holy Spirit, knowing what would befall the Ephesian church and their tendency to leave their first love, even way before the Lord had to send that letter to correct them, Paul wrote to them greatly about this love, how important it is to love. See, we grieve him, the Holy Spirit. We grieve him, the Holy Spirit, who is also God, who is Christ. Is all, you know, we serve one God in three persons, but we grieve him when we don't speak truthfully to one another, when we let anger control our actions, when we defraud or steal from one another, when we abuse one another, when we, you know, don't encourage one another, you know, when we tear each other down as opposed to lifting one another up, when we continue to let bitterness and anger and all those things reign in our hearts and we forget that how much we have been forgiven, so we forget to forgive others in kind. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I have this against you, Jesus said, that you've left your first love. So remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. He's telling the church, listen, I love you guys, and you're doing great work, but listen, this, you've left your first love, and this is so important that if you do not remember first and turn and make a change, you're not going to exist as a church anymore. I'll remove the lampstand from you. You'll become just an organization, just a club, just a clique. See, this first love, obviously, is first for Jesus. The context tells us first it's loving him, but it also tells us in context that it's proved by our love for one another. You know, John relates to us in his gospel that Jesus said to us that in John, it's John 13:35, you know, he says that the world will know that you are mine by the love you have one for another. See, the love that we display to each other here is only because he loved us first and we love him with all our heart, my own soul, and strength. And when we love him that way and we live for him that way, that love will then become apparent amongst us, or should become apparent amongst us. And when it becomes apparent amongst us, that is the greatest testimony any of us can ever have to the unbelieving world. I've maintained for a long time, and I've seen evidence of the enemy, our enemy, mimicking many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you know what he cannot ever mimic? Love. He cannot mimic love. When we love, it's powerful. It speaks to the world powerfully. And the truth of the matter is, we can never truly love others as we should unless we learn to love one another here first with amongst each other. That's how important this is. You remember first love. And it may not have to be romantic love. Some of you, many of you have had that experience, that first love, that excitement, and you'll do anything for one another, and everything's great, and you've always put up your best efforts, and then, you know, things sometimes get a little more cooled down and everything. But even if you never had that experience, you may have had that for your first car, you know, for your first job or for a job, and you start new, and you want to just get on early and leave late, and nothing's too hard for you. I'll do anything, you know. And then it cools. The honeymoon period is over. So what do? Go out and find another love? Or do you allow the love that began that way and cool to be reignited again? Jesus says, no, you don't leave your first love. You let that love get reignited again. Remember from what you came from. Remember who you were. And remember that I loved you when you were that way. And remember what I did for you, how I died for you, how I gave my life for you. You know, wisdom, according to Proverbs, instructs us to let love and faithfulness never leave us, to bind them around our neck and to write them on the tablets of our hearts. Let love never leave you. So I wanted to come circle around on this because I think that we need to practically realize and hear some things to say. How can we be what Paul said to the Ephesian church, encouraging them way before Jesus had to call them out for leaving their first love? He began to tell them about this love. How do we get, as Paul would tell them, to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ? He said in chapter 3, verse 17, and part of his prayer for the church, which is for them in that day, but again for us today, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is his prayer for the church, a prayer that is prayed for us, that we should be praying for one another, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the height, or the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, when we remember all that Jesus has done for us, it will bring to us a time now to correct our course, to see where we're not living and walking in that love, we're not acting in that love, we're not responding to that love in the way that we should. He asked us that the Holy Spirit would grant to us that the power that comes from the Holy Spirit to us to help us to be rooted in the love of Christ, to never sway from it. Holy Spirit has been given to every one of us. You know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't live within you, you're not born again. You're not a Christian. You may be religious. You may be a great person. You may know the Bible up and down. You may pray every day. But if you're not born, if the Holy Spirit's not within you, you're not born again. But you know, if you are, he does live within you. And one of the things he will do is he will correct us. I know that when I prepare for any message, I'm constantly, Lord, speak to me. Before, Lord, I speak to anybody else. Lord, let me remember. Let me hear these words for myself. I'm not here to pontificate. I'm here to receive it. I'm here to be changed by the word. Lord, teach me so that I may teach others. Lord, speak to my heart so that I can speak to others of your truth. And Lord, never let me be a sounding cymbal because I'm not acting in love, your love. See, because we're rooted and grounded in that love that Paul said, we have this new life in Christ. That's part of our experience. But we play a role, a responsible role too. The Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible tells us that everything that we need to be a Christian, everything we need to walk in that love, everything we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, everything we need has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. But our role is to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us, to yield. To remember that we can't do it on our own. I would hope that our desire today would be, Lord, I do not love as I should, but I want to. Lord, I want to remember that first love, that first experience, when I realized the depths of your love for me. When I was so eager to do anything for you, for the body of Christ, so eager to tell people about you that I was burning. Help me to remember that. Let me remember when I was dead in my sins and trespasses, how vile it was, and how lost I was, and what it is now to know that I have eternal life with you. See, and one of the ways that the Holy Spirit does this within us is the fact that we have to, again, speak this truth in love to one another. We need to come together to be rooted and grounded in his love. The Christian life is meant to be lived in a community. Yes, there are times that we will be isolated. And God, Jesus is always there. Again, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We always have him. But he meant all of this to be lived in community. See, Hebrews tells us that we should never forsake the time of meeting together. 10:25, do not forsake the assembling together of ourselves, which has become the habit of some. But what it tells us to do, that we need to work together, we need to exhort one another to love and to good works. Part of what's happening here this morning is I've been exhorted, and I want to exhort us, and I want you to exhort me. I want us to exhort one another to continue to love, to do the works that we're supposed to do, but to do them in love, and to remember our first love, and to remember that passion. And that can't happen when we don't get together, intentionally get together. We can come into the building, by the way, and we could all be in here, and we still could be alone. But we have to be able to do this and encourage one another. Even more, the Bible says, as we see his day approaching, to love one another as I have loved you, to practice it, to become selfless, not selfish, to learn from the Holy Spirit how to love even those that we don't like a lot. And then, Lord, even teach me how to like them, how to at least be kind and tenderhearted to them. When we're offended, we can practice, when we're together, loving each other and even learning to forgive one another, to bear up with one another, to weep together and to laugh together, to learn to do things that we need to do for this life, not only the few times that we a week that we're together, but as we go out into this world. See, fellowshipping together is one of the ways that we're able to do these things. I've seen the effects of leaving your first love. I've seen them firsthand. And they're not pretty. I've seen the effects that it has on the individual and on families and even on entire churches. When the churches begin to forget the love of Jesus Christ and they begin to act and live just outside of that love. And you know, it comes in very gradually. It's not something that happens overtly, it's instantaneous. It takes some time. We drift, we go off course. But as we see that, even beginning to go off course, and we're able to together exhort one another to love, to speak that truth in love to one another, then we can correct that course and we can get back on track to stir one another up, to help one another, to take seriously these instructions that the Holy Spirit has given us this morning. The Apostle John, when he was on that island, on Patmos, he was probably pretty isolated. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, loving Jesus with everything that he had. We sang a couple songs this morning. And in those songs, it talked about loving Jesus exclusively. I'm just going to ask today, as we're getting ready to close, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning to say, Lord, am I loving as I should? Do I love you and put you first in every area of my life? And what does that look like? The ultimate goal will be the same for all of us, but the way that we get there individually will look quite different. The Holy Spirit will direct me. He will speak to me in my life the words that I need to hear to get me on track to make sure I'm loving Jesus with all my heart. And he will be different to you because each one of us has our own walk with Christ. And he'll do that today if you're willing to let him speak. If you're willing to say, Lord, I know because the Holy Spirit is within me, I have ears to hear. So, Father, I thank you that you gave me the apparatus, but now I'm listening. I'm not just hearing sounds. I'm listening intently to your voice, that I'll spend time with you in your word. I'll spend time in fellowship. Not just to come and say, I've been there every week to get on the, you know, get my name checked on the roll, but I'm actually in fellowship. That I'll spend time worshiping with my brothers and sisters, praying with my brothers and sisters, talking with my brothers and sisters, looking for opportunity to both be encouraged and to encourage them, to exhort, to love and good works. Father, help me today as I'm listening to your voice, not only this day, but every day, to hear that I have you allowing me to take a good inventory of my life, to show me the love that is lacking or that needs to grow. And then, Father, as I listen, as I allow myself to remember, as I allow myself then to repent, let me change. Make real changes. Whatever, Lord, it is that you show me in my life that I need to change, that some things that have to go or some things that have to be added, all in that way that I can truly love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And, Lord, let me love my brother in a tangible way, and my sister in my tangible way. Then we would realize what he's been saying to the Ephesian church. I'll close by saying this. History tells us that sometime after this letter, this church must have heeded the words that Jesus spoke to them. Because in the second century, after this was written to them, there's many writings that commend the church not only for their good work, but for their love. Their love for Jesus, for one another, and then that was translated to the world around them. So since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We've never seen God, John said, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Father, I know my words are not enough. They're not even close. But I do know, Lord, that you are here by your Holy Spirit to take your word and make it come alive in us, in our hearts. Father, help us to love and know that even when we err, when we love well, it will cover a multitude of sins. But let us then not make a habit of that, but ask you, Lord, to teach us how to love more and how to do well and how to do the things that are practical together amongst one another so that, Lord, it will be a reflection of that love that's in our hearts. Father, give us a love for prayer. Let us renew our love for your word. Let us renew our love for meeting and assembling together. Let us renew our love to let the love that grows amongst us reflect to the world around us that we are yours and that you sent us in love to tell the world how much you love them. So, Father, we trust that you will do these things in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.